Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. State leaders calling for a ban on vaping and e-cigarette products. There's been a lot of talk about this in the news. People dying.
Yeah, from vaping.
People in comas.
Yes.
Andrew is on now. Why are people dying? Andrew?
Well, yep, I'm here.
Yeah,
go ahead. Hi. Well, honestly, the reason people are dying is because they're purchasing illegal black market contraband is really what it is. They found that in marijuana illegal states that there's a rash of lipoid pneumonia that's coming from one particular ingredient. It's called vitamin E acetate. And they found two brothers out in Wisconsin who are the manufacturers of probably a large portion of these. And they found vitamin E acetate, which is a cutting agent used in the marijuana, in black market marijuana. That should be pretty, I want to make sure that's clear that it's not, you know, your dispensaries or anything like that. This is something that's in the black market. It's not going to be found in places where marijuana is legal.
Okay.
So basically it becomes ammonia gas.
But let's agree that just because smoke has a blueberry flavor, it doesn't mean it's healthier than cigarettes.
Well, no. Does a blueberry flavor make it any healthier than cigarettes? No, right. No. That's definitely not the case, right?
Right.
But something that we need to look at is what we're trying to do here with these types of legislation is get underage kids who are already illegally obtaining vapor products to stop obtaining them, right? Making them less enticing, whatever the case is. The unfortunate part is now you've cut out 13 million American adult vapers who switched from smoking, which kills 50% of those people. So we have to, it's a nuanced approach. It's not, you know, we're using sledgehammer legislation where we could be using a scalpel.
Yeah. Okay. So the key is not to buy black market stuff. How do you know it's black market? How can you tell?
Well, number one, if you're going into any retail store, you're not buying black market.
Right.
So don't buy from a drug dealer.
Okay.
Oh.
Right.
That's pretty simple. That's the most evident thing. If you really want to educate people, the one thing that we've found has been an easy way to tell whether or not your THC oil in your cartridge has been cut is the oil inside of it should be very, very thick. If you flip it over, there's an air bubble inside. That air bubble shouldn't move for about 10 to 30 seconds. So if it's very viscous, then you should probably throw it away.
Gotcha.
Just seems like there should be no electronic element to smoking.
You light a cigarette, light a pipe or a cigar.
Why is my thing of a battery?
Move on,
that
yeah.
Just seems like there's, I don't know.
Yeah.
As soon as I read that, I'm like, yeah.
I'm good.
I feel like this can be a problem.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good for cigarettes.
All right, anything else you want to make sure you get out there before you go?
I mean, the biggest thing is I want everybody listening to this show to know that smokers looking for an alternative need not worry about lung illnesses. If you're a smoker and you're looking to get into vapor products, please don't hesitate to make the switch. You won't regret it, and your loved ones won't regret it either.
Gotcha.
How can you say that, though, really?
Unless they owe you money, in which case, like, oh, thank God.
I mean, this is just as bad as smoking cigarettes, you know?
No, that's, I mean,
like, if I'm cigarettes now, I come out with some kind of commercial, hey, cigarettes, the healthy alternative.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Well, unfortunately, that would be illegal, but, so is saying that vapor products are healthy, and nobody's making that claim either, right?
It's funny.
Go ahead, AJ.
You don't see like cigarette butts on the floor anymore. Now you see those little cartridges for the vaping on the floor. I must have kicked that five or six in the other day.
Yep. Yeah.
That's too bad that people are so disrespectful. No matter what they're using, right? I mean, we see bottle caps, bottles.
I see coffee cups.
Cigarette butts.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, people don't appreciate the
they're pigs, basically. Good.
Yeah.
But you know, the big thing to touch on here is all peer reviewed science points to vaping being 95% at least safer than cigarettes. So.
95%. I feel like the one thing I've learned over the last couple of weeks is we don't know.
Yeah. It's been here for a short time. Well, how many folks have died so far?
Well, they're dropping like flies.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, no, 6 people have died, but we need to make the differentiation between illegal THC vapor cartridges and the things that are helping people get off of cigarettes. Those are two different products altogether.
All right, so you think the politicians, they don't know what's going on. They just want to ban vaping and e-cigarette products. They don't realize
this is a nuanced conversation. We can help legislators make effective change. Unfortunately, what
do you hear yourself?
Right.
What's up?
They don't do nothing.
You hear yourself
making them do stuff.
I mean, I know. Yeah, you're thinking. I know. You're like, hey, yeah, we could just common sense, right?
Yeah, common sense.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Common sense legislation doesn't fly these days.
Exactly. What's common sense, really?
But there are so many other stories. There's deaths, but then there's like this 18-year-old kid who his lungs look like a 70-year-old's.
He actually admitted to THC vaping just the other day. It finally came out. And let me say this, 87% of these cases have admitted to THC usage, and let's talk about the 13%. The 13% are mostly underage teens in marijuana illegal states, and their doctors have not tested for THC for some reason.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So let's make sure that we understand that these kids are just afraid. They don't want to admit to their parents or their medical professionals what they're doing.
Well, you can't say for sure, but you're saying, well, let's look at the facts and kind of do the math. And
right.
Chances are pretty good that these kids are lying.
All that stuff, yes.
Yeah, if they all have the same illness of lipoid pneumonia, which is inhaling fat particles, vitamin E acetate is pretty much the only contributor to that illness.
So the black market, this is, I would think, the government can track these people down and arrest them, no?
So there's been two arrests in the state of Wisconsin, and they found what tested positive for vitamin E acetate. They had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of these cartridges being packaged. They said they made about 10,000 cartridges a day out of their facility.
Wow.
I mean, I use facility in quotations here because it's probably a garage.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the things that need to come out a little bit more. We need to educate people as opposed to fear mongering.
Well, I remember we had those people dropping on a New Haven green.
The K2.
And it seems like this garage in Wisconsin is that, but organized.
Right. K3.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then what about like Instagram when you're like scrolling through it and you see like these really cheap pods and stuff? Chances are that's from China or whatever.
Yeah, if you're seeing any sort of THC cartridges there that are going up on social media, you should be very skeptical of that.
Okay.
China definitely imports things, and they have no regulation whatsoever. So
none.
There could be, you know, heavy metals and pesticides that we test for here that they don't there.
Ugh. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your website, and we'll link up at WPLR.com. Thank you, Andrew. Pastor attempts to break Jesus Christ's fasting record.
You don't break Jesus Christ's record, no.
He died trying.
Yep, see that?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is like, oh, hell no.
This was sent in by tribe member Michael Killen.
Trying to break my record.
Now, would Jesus say hell no?
He would in this case. Yeah, you can break his record. Dad.
Good heavens no.
Dad, finish him off.
I might say heavens no.
No. He was, oh, hell no in this one. This is Jesus' record. Yeah, you do not break Jesus' record. No.
I don't feel like Jesus is egotistical to where he'd be like, oh, you're not breaking my record.
Well, no. Yeah. My brother, you are mistaken.
If you try and out fast, you don't last. That's Jesus' term right there.
Wait, what's that now?
Try to out fast, you don't last. To Jesus.
What, Jesus, he snapped
and he did those snap. Yep.
Jesus had a slogan.
Exactly right. Try to out fast, you don't last.
You don't last.
Exactly right. Need a little snap. Which is hard to do when you had a hole in your hand. Just saying.
I could see how maybe they had a meeting, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got to get together, get the brains of this, you know, whatever. So you get God and Jesus.
Yeah.
What's that? Like the CEO and the COO.
Right.
And then, you know, whoever else is in management there, I don't know, St. Peter, you
Holy
run
Spirit.
The gate.
Well, they got the banner in heaven saying talk his now. Record, yeah.
If this guy, if this pastor
right.
beats Jesus' record,
right.
what does that do now? Because
right.
it's been, you know, thousands of years, and we're still having problems communicating that this really happened.
They got the banner up in heaven and everything about his record. It's hanging from the heaven wall.
Oh, it's like just in a stadium?
Exactly, right, in a heaven stadium, right. They got Jesus, the fasting record, knows how I broke this. I'm just saying right here. No one's ever broke that. You know when his disciples said, damn, Jesus, some guy's trying to break your record. And Jesus went, oh,
do you know how
no.
many? Do you know how many days Jesus fasted for?
I don't know, no.
40 days.
40 days.
Wow.
40 days. Yeah, I'm going to talk about your diet plan, yes.
So he did so many things
Get
to try to prove
everything.
To people, like, hey, you know, this is a thing that's going on here.
Exactly right. Don't break it. Do not even try to break my record. That's how mad he got. Right. He was very cross.
Right. Jesus was flubbling.
He was. He was so mad. like red wine came out of his nose. Like, what? He did. They had another Last Supper.
Right.
They said, okay, we got to take care of this pastor over here. I want this pastor to become past. You know what I'm saying? Take
Jesus
him out, Dad. Take
from
him out.
New York?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, Jesus is from New York.
All disciples, right, exactly. Like, well, you got to take care of this guy, okay? This guy, right. his pastor over here, wants to take care. You know what I'm saying? Fanucci. Hey,
what'd you say?
Hey, Fanucci.
Fanucci?
Hey, Fanucci, take this guy out, yeah.
What is Fanucci?
That's a guy. It's a guy I'm going to take care of this pastor guy trying to break Jesus' record. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm
saying? Why do I picture Jesus smoking a cigar?
Gabish, exactly right.
I love how the saints turned into mobsters.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, we had it done with the strip club there, Mana Mia.
Yeah, they had a meeting.
Yeah,
this guy can't break Jesus' record.
That's
He's
right.
back for business.
That's right.
I
got to do a Hail Mary pass and take this pastor out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how long do you think the pastor made it?
39 days.
30.
Ah, there you go, see? Ooh. Wow, Finucci.
30 days.
Hey, you're getting a bonus there, Finucci. Good going.
30 days.
30 days.
No food.
Never, ever break Jesus' record. I'm sorry, yeah. I tempted him with a couple of cheeseburgers over here.
He was 44 years old.
Keyword was.
He was known by his family and community at large as a very spiritual person whose faith could move mountains.
Yes.
But clearly not keep his organs going.
No, not at all. And you know, of course, that's only the first part, but now he's got to answer when he goes to the top of the pearly gates over there.
The top of the pearly gates?
Yeah.
I think you go through.
What is this over here? What is this over here? You're trying to break Jesus' record over here. No, what the hell's the matter with you? Hell's the matter with you? Don't ever try and break Jesus' record. Don't ever try and do that.
I don't think it happened.
Put your head in the toilet over here.
Yeah, I don't.
Where's my money? Where's
I
my money?
I actually have a different
You better have my money over here.
Heaven than you do.
Why didn't have my money?
Don't think that's how it happened. Yeah.
In my mind, it did.
Yeah.
All right. Words? That's Italian.
Yeah, my bobbity boopy.
Is Jesus Italian?
Yes, now.
Look who's here.
Oh!
It's a United States Senator.
Yes.
And it's always an honor to have one in the studio.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Richard Blumenthal in studio.
Yeah.
What happened to your arm?
In a sling, yeah.
Rotator cuff surgery.
Oh.
About 5 weeks ago.
I told you that the bench 350.
I don't recommend it unless you really need it. And,
taking out lobbyists or taking out China.
He's bench pressing 350 again.
you know the definition of minor surgery. Surgery done to somebody else.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, a little less
sloppy. So this is
now.
Minor surgery. Mm.
Rotator cuff.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like 1 or 2 millimeters from getting that surgery. Like I couldn't put my coat on. You kind of have to pull it over.
Swing around, yeah.
You can't get your arm up over here. It's very, very, very painful.
Right.
What did you do to tear the rotator cuff?
There wasn't anything dramatic or sudden. It was just a lot of sports over a lot of years, and I was in the same situation. I couldn't lift my arm. I couldn't swim and do that kind of stuff. The workout.
What kind of sports?
And
did
I was
you play?
I couldn't have done the penguin plunge with AJ. So, you know, that was kind of the
got to get that fixed.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Line I crossed. Yeah.
What kind of sports did you play in school?
Swimming. Soccer.
Baseball. Well, soccer
you
play, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
But so it's your right arm.
Right.
I swam throughout college, and I still have swum along with running. So after a while, it just wore out, and the surgeon said, you know, you can continue. It's not life-threatening, but might as well have it done if you want to continue with that.
Yeah, now you'll swim in a circle.
So I'm ready for next season. You know, I'm going to get my 100-mile-an-hour fastball back.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
How do you pick the time to do that? Do you pick when you're in session, out of session?
I did it during August because we were out of session. And gotcha. I didn't have to wear coat and tie.
Gotcha.
Because very hard to put
like
that
on. Like you have
on.
To raise your hand in a Senate floor. Like, oh, man, right. I want to talk right now, but I can't.
Right.
Right. I would only. Write a letter.
Yeah, write it only. Right.
Fully I had both my arms.
Damn it.
But I still got my left hook.
There you go.
So I'm still fighting.
Exactly. Right. Right.
You're
right
a now. Lot of physical therapy. That's really the part of the hardest aspect of it. And also, once you have the surgery.
Yeah, but you go right in, right? Physical therapy. Like, they don't have a United States senator sitting out in the waiting room.
Yep.
With, you know, me, like, on my cell phone right. and AJ, like, doing
magazine.
Whatever he does.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool.
You walk right in, right?
Well, I make appointments like everyone else.
Yeah, so do we. We
try
sit there
to be on time.
Yeah.
Right. Reading a magazine with one hand.
Right.
Yep.
He has, like, when you compare this guy to other politicians, he doesn't walk around with a posse.
No.
He, walks up to everybody. It's not like a circle of the ring of, you know.
The chosen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's really down to earth. I could picture myself in a waiting room and I look over, it's like, I think that's a United States senator right over there.
He's reading Old People magazine, yes.
People have said that.
Yeah. Are you Senator Bloom? Yeah. Right. Why are you
and
here right
physical
now?
Physical therapist. Yeah. I have to be very careful because, you know, potentially some physical therapist might just not like some of my political views.
Right.
Like, bend my arm back.
Yeah,
there
and, I need you to hang from this building by your arm.
Literally twisting my arm. No, these guys are great. In fact, I tried physical therapy for about 6 months before the surgery, and finally I just decided to do it, but it helped a lot. I recommend it for everyone.
Right, so you're not going to go to any physical therapist with Trump on the building, right? You'd be like, I'm going to skip that one and
right.
go to another building.
He says we
go
Trump
to another physical therapist.
Gotcha, right.
We're going to have some breaking news in a few minutes. The senator has not released this yet, and you'll see it all over the news later.
Gotcha.
In regards to veterans. Just wanted to check with you on a couple of things, because we have the Chaz and AJ Arts Television and Appliances Food Festival coming up. You like to eat?
Love to eat.
AJ and I had this debate this morning.
I never see you eat. I haven't seen you eat one damn thing since I've known you for many years. We had a lunch one time, and he like came in late, and we'd never seen him eat.
Where was the lunch?
It was at Christopher, that place over in New Haven, a bunch of listeners.
Oh, that's right.
And he had some kind of, you know, senator's
stuff. Lunch with the senator.
Yeah, some kind of senatorial thing to do, so he like showed up late. I never seen him actually take a bite. He had, like,
I ate at the event you guys did. Recently,
I didn't see you do it.
Pam?
You actually ate something? Because all I've seen is like drink coffee. Like, you only drink finished like half a cup of coffee. I'm like, get out of the studio later.
Senator, AJ's on NyQuil right now.
You need to pass the legislation, guys.
No, but that's a good question. What do you eat?
Yeah, what do you eat?
You are about as thin as you can get. You're probably like perfect weight.
Like a gulp of air? What do you have?
I eat everything.
Everything? Like
everything
what?
Really?
Pizza? To cheeseburger. My favorite cheeseburgers.
Okay.
My wife knows.
Right.
Really?
So I'm not
Is there
exactly,
a particular place you like cheeseburgers from?
I'm really very ecumenical, you know, as long as
I gotta look that up.
Do you get drive-through?
What's that?
Drive-through burgers? Yeah.
I do some drive-through.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I think Phil has some intel.
So I'm being told that the senator will have like one big meal a day. Sometimes it's just breakfast, sometimes it's lunch.
Like a
but
snake?
Outside of that meal,
what is
he
this guy
eats almost nothing.
Me?
No snacks or anything.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
He actually unhinged his jaw and just pushed all the food in.
That's a good way. Let's define big meal. Ask him, what's a big meal for the senator?
Yeah, two bites.
Definitely cheeseburgers. He said he is a huge cheeseburger.
But a whole cheeseburger or like,
you know, five cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
This is really no fair because you got Joe Rodriguez.
We have an informant. We do.
Who
yeah.
is
oh, yeah.
here to do constituent.
Yeah. Oh, we have him locked in a room.
And he's giving away all of my personal.
Oh, yeah. That's
secret.
It. He's never working for the CIA.
No, he's not.
He's
no.
stuck with you.
He used to work for me.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
As of this morning, he's gone.
Right.
And he's got about 4 to 5 cups of
Joe
black coffee
guy.
A day, too.
Wow. 4 or 5 cups of black coffee.
Half cups.
And then is a big meal multiple cheeseburgers or one cheeseburger and fries? What is a big meal?
It's like a quadruple stacker.
He's fallen silent now. Now he doesn't want to
answer.
Before we do this announcement, 9/11 was last week, the anniversary of it. And what is it with Saudi Arabia? I feel like they had some part of this. And why do we not hold them accountable for their role in this?
That is exactly right. And I have actually championed the measures to hold them accountable. The so-called JASTA Act, bipartisan, to enable the families. Brett Eagleson in Middletown, for example, lost his father, Bruce. Other families, the McKinley family, lost their brother, Dan and Marty. Their brother Dan, Marty, and Dennis were with me the other day in New Haven. What the government is doing now is concealing evidence that would implicate
Why
the
would
Saudis.
We do that?
Why?
That is a mystery to
is
me.
Is that are they the number one supplier of oil to us?
Well, it used
so that
to be
would send
the reaction,
markets into chaos if we start having a pushing match with them?
The rationale might have been we need their oil. But now, of course, we don't any longer.
Yeah.
The rationale now might be, well, you know, they're an ally in the Middle East, but we don't need them as an ally in the Middle East. As a matter of fact,
it's not an ally if you're funding people who are going to ram buildings and planes into our buildings.
No, it's exactly. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there is solid evidence that they aided and abetted by providing financing and potentially arms
oh, big time.
To the hijackers.
Yeah.
And the FBI just released the name of a Saudi agent who was implicated. They won't allow the lawyers for the families to divulge that name. And just as a heads up to you, I'm going to be leading a letter, and I hope it will be a bipartisan letter, because John Cornyn of Texas and Senator Grassley of Iowa have both
got
been
about
strong
2 minutes
allies.
Here, but we're looking forward to that. Keep us posted on that
we
one.
Will.
We're watching that one.
Yes.
We're on your side on that one.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to this announcement, and then I want to ask you about vaping real quick.
The announcement basically is, and I hope veterans are listening, that they can be reimbursed now if they need emergency care in non-VA facilities, which is very widespread. The VA has said, we're not reimbursing you for any of the care if it's not in one of our VA facilities. That's illegal. The VA has illegally denied reimbursement to veterans, and there are thousands of veterans. In fact, 600,000 across the country, probably 6,000, maybe more here in Connecticut, they are owed between $1.6 and $6 billion overall that the VA has illegally denied them. So,
so
they should know about this.
This is the announcement that you can go and you can be reimbursed.
And a court, the VA Court of Appeals, has in effect sided with the veterans in this issue. And now we're trying to get the word out, because the VA has now twice misinformed veterans about their rights. And I am going to demand that the VA issue more corrective letters to reach out to all of the veterans so they know they can be reimbursed. Because otherwise, they may just let it go.
Yeah, they kind of look the other way, saying nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly. Keep moving.
Vaping. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, coincidentally, I'm going to be going to Yale in just an hour or so to talk to Yale researchers there about some of their findings. They're revealing them today, as a matter of fact, about chemicals, highly dangerous compounds found in flavored Juul products. These chemicals can cause respiratory issues. So my take on vaping is there are a lot of unknowns.
Right.
The chemicals that are in the pods, not to mention the nicotine that is addicting teenagers and adolescents, what we are doing is potentially creating a new generation of cigarette smokers, because
it's
vaping
the same
is
thing,
a gateway.
But worse, right? Because they think
exactly.
It's not as bad.
Right.
Senator, thanks for coming in. Thanks for
always great
what
to
you
be
do.
With you.
Take
Thank
care
you.
Of that arm.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
We'll be watching
thanks.
For you on TV today. Thank you, Senator. Where would you like to start on this one?
Well, of course, it's really unbelievable how many great classic rockers are dying.
I think we were talking about this off air on Thursday.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
We were talking about it, and how it shakes you. Let's put it that way. It really does shake you up. It really is bad. It's something that it means it's the beginning of an end of an era.
Right.
And it's very sad. I remember the first time I saw the Cars I had never heard of them before. It was in 1977. I wonder how many of the PLR listeners were there, but we had Jay Giles Band out at the Waterbury Palace Theater, and we didn't have an opening act. And I was trying to convince them to do two sets because I thought it would be really special if they... I, as people know, I'm a big Dead fan, and I love the idea of doing a set, taking a break, and doing another set. And they said, no, they have... They have a friend up in Boston they want to bring down. His name is Rick Ocasek. So I immediately thought it was a folk singer or a singer-songwriter. And then I get the contract, and it's a band called The Cars. And it was from a local booking agency in Boston. Never heard of them. I imagine the record wasn't even out yet. I couldn't tell you that for sure. You might have the record when, you know, have a record of when their first album came out, but this was in, I think, June of 77.
All right, well, look.
Yeah.
And I thought they were pretty startling, to tell you the truth. I really thought they were different. I had not heard that new music sound hadn't really caught on yet in 77. It was just starting to catch on. So I watched them, I was a Cars fan. Never great live, I will say that. Never great live. Pretty standstill on stage. Mm. But at the same time, their sound was very different. And as you know, we've been doing this show this long. I voted for them. I was very supportive of voting for them for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago, whenever it was, a year ago, 2 years ago. Because I thought that they started a sound. They started a very different, what they call new wave. But I thought it was really... quite interesting.
And, yeah, it's a real mix of a lot of different musical. It's like they put all different kinds of music in a blender, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. You know what's funny about them is they actually opened for the Good Rats years ago. The Cars actually opened for the Good Rats.
Do you remember the Good Rats, Jimmy?
Of course I have.
Yeah.
Well, I know they
all
did
Long
some...
Island people on the West.
Right. God, we do. God, for God's sake.
I hope that's the dumbest thing I say today.
I can top that.
But
thing.
I just, like, I know they played some PLR picnics and stuff. I just, I didn't know if they rose to the level of cross-country concerts, you know.
We had them open up. Pepe was the lead singer's name, right?
Yes, Pepe like Marcello.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, Pepe. You know what? They were like Jay Giles. They were a very active, cool rock band, but their songs never got to the level of popularity. You're right. They were on a bunch of picnics out at the Pinecrest. But I couldn't guarantee you that I've ever really had them as an opening act. I'd have to really look that up if I did. But, yeah. They were a great bar band.
So the Cars, the first time you see them, they're opening for Jay Giles at the Waterbury Palace. I looked it up. iTunes says the Cars' first album came out in 78. So you saw them right before, you know, so they're on the launch pad. They probably had the record deal. They were probably recording at the time.
About to come big, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you a bunch of your listeners, I don't know if they remember the show, if they remember seeing the Cars in 1977 at the Waterbury Palace Theater. I don't know. Maybe there were more than me. My head stood up when I saw them. That sound was very different. It's still a very different sound. Nobody ever replicated the Cars sound.
No, nobody said, let's do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's incredibly unique, their sound.
When's the next time you remember seeing them or having them play for you?
I had them in 79. They opened up for the Doobie Brothers at the New Haven Coliseum. And I looked this one up, August 27, 1979.
Wow.
They opened up for the Doobie Brothers at the New Haven Coliseum.
Cars and Doobies, nice. What a show.
Right.
Yeah, really cool.
That first album was all a hit. I mean, so you have the opener has all hits, and then the Doobie Brothers come out, and they have all hits.
And a lot of dudes smoking Cars, so there you go.
Yeah, it was really very good. It was a great show. Great show. Not that I remember it, because I can't remember too much from the 70s.
Right, a lot of doobies.
Did you look up, Jimmy, what the ticket cost?
$850 top. I don't mean $850 top, because that could be said today, $850 top. So I'll say $8.50 top.
Yeah.
And that's when I came into concerts, $650, $750, $850.
A scalp would charge you like $20. Yeah. $20? Oh, geez, $20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now $20 is considered a giant bargain.
Exactly.
Did you have any interactions with Rick Ocasek or any other members of the Cars, or do you remember anything backstage, what that was like?
No, I had no interaction with them. I, in all honesty, found Rick to be quiet and aloof. And I don't mean that in any negative fashion whatsoever. I really don't. Because he might not have been that way. But, you know, I was a stranger. I met 1978, 1979 with the right. Doobies. And it was very... I'm looking my records up now. I'm getting a little confused. It was actually the Cars did open up for Bob Seger 41 years ago today.
Oh, wow.
$8.50 top, $7.50 and $6.50, New Haven Coliseum, September 16, 1978.
That's a show.
A little bizarre, yeah.
And it is a little weird, right? Yeah, because Bob Seger... He's like a Bruce Springsteen in terms of onstage performances. Cars, not so much.
Right.
Yeah, right. The Cars, Seger must have loved it because he must have crushed it.
Right.
When the Cars opened up. No, the Cars were a song band.
Yes.
They were a song band. They were not a great performing artist. They were a song band.
And studio. And, like, comfortable in the studio.
Yes, yes. And look, they never slowed down. I thought their albums were really good right up till they stopped recording. I thought they retired the Cars at the right time. And you're right, they had different sounds. My Best Friend's Girl was, I thought, a very Beach Boys sounding like song. Yet they would do other tunes that were very, very. Their sound was small. The sound was very tight and small, I thought. And Rick Ocasek was a genius. He was a producer of a lot of great artists.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He produced a lot of great artists. So I think that you'll see... I was very happy the Cars made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he really did produce a lot of great artists, which
were you
probably
there?
Phil can look up.
Were you there that night at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? When they performed and were inducted?
No, I only went the night of Deep Purple in Chicago getting in because they were personal friends of mine.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only way. It's you know, going to Barclays in Brooklyn is a pain in the butt.
Gotcha. So they're advertising. It's a pain in the butt, but once you get here, it's good.
I only do it when friends are out there.
Right.
I'll go to the Garden anytime, but yeah. Going to Barclays is tough.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then what do you remember from Eddie Money? But did he do any shows for you?
Yeah, Eddie Money. I looked this up, and the first time I could find Eddie Money was opening up for the Doobie Brothers, so, and that's a perfect show, I think. And that was August 27, 1978. So the irony is, 3 weeks apart.
Oh, wow.
I had opening acts of Eddie Money on the 27th of August of 78, and the Cars. September 16th of 78.
That's cool.
Both at the New Haven Coliseum. I then further looked up to see, okay, what other opening acts fell in between because things happen in threes, and I pray for the health of Van Halen because they opened up for Black Sabbath on September 10th, and they were the only act that was an opening act between these two artists.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little bizarre. We had Yes for a couple of nights, but they always played their own shows. There were no opening acts at the New Haven Coliseum. But what I do remember at Eddie Money is he was a New York boy. He was all New York. He was, I think he grew up in Brooklyn, if I remember correctly. And you sat, and I, you know, I was a suburban New York guy. And we would sit backstage and party. We would party.
He enjoyed that.
He loved it, and yep. And he was fun, and he was hilarious, and remembered your name when you met him the next time.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that wasn't supposed to be a rock star because he was just too nice.
Right. Just a regular guy,
too.
He
fell off the stage one time during a performance on Long Island.
Well, this was towards the end of when
his
he realized
days.
He needed to stop partying.
Yeah.
Did he party with you before the show or after the show, Jimmy?
Both.
Oh.
There you go, see? Hardcore, man. It's New York.
Well, that was the thing then, right?
Yes.
Everyone went on the stage a little tuned up.
That's what you did.
Would you say?
Well, that was the idea because the audience was. You had to get in the same head they were in.
Exactly right.
So would you say, though, like, as you were, because it was kind of the first thing you mentioned talking about Eddie Money, would you say he partied a little bit more than other artists before he went on stage?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he was shaking.
Oh, yeah. He was shaking. Yeah.
Drinking and drugging, both. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah, drinking and drugging. And you know, when I hung backstage, I never was a drinker. So if I hung backstage with some bands, I mean, like the Allman Brothers were drinking and drugging also. But when you got to the Dead, it was just drugging.
Oh,
it
no
really
drinking?
Wasn't a lot of drinking. But then there were some bands that was just drinking and no drugging. But Eddie was both. Eddie was ambidextrous.
Exactly. He could do both like a pro.
He's smoking a joint with one hand and drinking a beer with another.
Exactly.
Yep, you're right. Yeah, both hands working.
Yep.
Now,
and no control.
Van Halen, was that drinking and drugging or one or the
other? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
drinking and drugging. Yeah.
They were, I would put them in the Hall of Fame of that.
Right. Of partying.
They're a party band, yes.
Them and Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses are probably the best of them all.
Right.
The best.
Right. They're pro card.
Wow. Think about everything that Jimmy has seen, and he is putting them in that top tier, the best.
The coveted top
tier. He didn't
even
think about it.
Right, the partiers.
Right, right.
Wow.
Like blinking. He said, yep, them.
Well, the New Haven Coliseum was set up where my office was directly across from the star dressing room. So I usually knew what was going on. And artists like Deep Purple would invite me in, and the Dead would invite me in. There were a number of artists that would invite me in. There were some artists that didn't invite me in, but I saw it happening anyway.
Right. So you left your door open, your office
always.
Door? Always. Yeah, always.
Because things would waft in there.
Why would I close the door?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm backstage at a rock show. Yeah,
exactly, for God's sake.
My rock show.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on them. Nice, wink, wink.
Yeah, I got to keep an eye on them.
Got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right. What did you find out, Phil?
So we were talking about the production career that Rick Ocasek had. He worked with the Bad Brains, Bad Religion, punk groups. He also worked with No Doubt. The two albums that he's known for producing were both with Weezer. First the Blue Album and then the Green Album.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He stayed cool as he got older, and that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I was surprised by that one. And they said what appeared to be natural causes, but when you're 70 or 75, depending on the version of the story you read, natural causes, I don't know. I feel like I want a little bit more information than natural causes. You know?
I don't believe there's such a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
What's a natural cause?
Right. Something.
Your heart stops. It means it's probably a heart attack.
Right.
Right. Something caused you to stop breathing and living. What was it?
Natural gas.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, nobody could tell me you die at 75 and that's natural. Let's hope not.
Right.
At
I don't
70,
want to.
Damn it. I hope it's not.
I want an explanation.
They always say untimely death also. There's no timely deaths.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I was also shocked he was 75.
We all were.
So we're reading two different versions. And there are a lot, there's a lot of stories, and there's either he's 70 or he's 75. And we looked at Wikipedia. Wikipedia says 75. However, there's so many stories saying he was 70.
I felt very confident for a very short period of time that 75 was the correct answer. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting because, you know, if we had him start in 1977 at the Waterbury Palace Theater, and he's 75, that was 44 years. It means he was in his 30s. When he first started. That means in 1978, when his first album came out, which was 41 years ago, he was in his 30s when his first... Rock and roll back then, when you were in your 30s, you didn't start breaking back then.
No, you were done.
Yeah, you were done in many cases.
That's why he said he was 70.
I mean, unless you're an Elton John or a Billy Joel, a great songwriter, Bruce Springsteen, but, you know, you go through that arc, start early 20s, and you're done in your 30s.
But it's why he lied about his age. You're like, you're 40 years old. No, I'm 35.
Well, the only time you lie about your age when you're young is when you want to drink. Then when you're old, you want people to think you're young, so you lie about your age the other way.
That's right. I'm 20 years old, by the way, just to know.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, hopefully we don't have you on again this week to talk about another rock and roll dip, but we'll talk to you Thursday if something else doesn't happen.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Why are you at court today?
Why?
Pete, where did you go?
Dan Waterbury.
So you went to Dan?
Wow. Went to Dan Waterbury.
Dan Waterbury, yes.
Dan Waterbury.
Wow.
Dan Waterbury!
It's a section of Waterbury.
Yeah, right. Like, not Dan, but Dan.
Dan.
Right. I'm going to Dan Waterbury.
It's like Tom Platt, you know, Dan.
Right. Dan at Waterbury.
Dan in Waterbury.
That Dan Waterbury.
Hey, what's your name?
Dan.
You mind if this goes on the radio?
No.
What are you at court today?
For getting arrested.
All right, what'd you do?
I smacked cuffs out of a cop's hand.
Oh, boy. Tell us what.
Okay.
See?
Yep, that'll do it.
Not a smart thing to do. They don't
I
like
love
that.
Just even how he describes that.
They don't like that part when you say it.
Do you not know, understand why I love Waterbury so much?
Yeah, I could see why it's amazing.
It's easy fishing
it's
for you.
Amazing.
You can win a tournament over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Smack the cuffs out of a cop's hand.
Right, smack the
and
cuffs.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you going to do now? What you going to do now?
Right.
Chest
right.
pump. What?
Yeah.
And that's when the Knights that came out.
You're Dan, under arrest. I'd oh, like... yeah? How you going to do that?
Yeah.
Hey, you dropped your cast out, yeah. Didn't you?
Right. Dan, I'm going to introduce your face to my nightstick.
Right.
But I want to be the... Ow!
Let's start a couple of your mama jokes.
Right.
Right.
You could hear just the smallest little just twinge of pride when he says
yes.
that.
Oh,
yes.
He's confident.
Along with the humble idiocy, yes.
Yeah.
I smacked cuffs out of a cop's hand.
Oh, boy. Tell us what happened.
Well, we were leaving a bar, me and my buddies. I'm not going to throw their names out there. And there was a girl there. I was trying to get into her underwear, but I ended up getting to
what?
The cops.
What, he wanted Wait. To wear? He wanted to wear them?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going
wow.
with that.
Look at that.
There you
See?
Go.
Well, you know, that's a fashion choice.
We're only a few seconds in, and I want to see this guy get a nightstick to his head.
Seriously. Yeah.
15 seconds in.
The nerve of that guy.
I never met Dan. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but just based on what I'm hearing here, yeah, I could see how a nightstick might land repeatedly over his head.
Right. Several times.
There was a girl there. I was trying to get into her underwear, but I ended up getting to the cop's baton stick across my knees. But she's walking out. And she was getting a little rowdy outside. She thought she was Roddy Piper. She started yelling at the cop. He grabs her to arrest her. I slapped the cuffs out of his hand thinking I'm Rocky Balboa. I end up getting on the ground about six knees into my back, a couple jabs to my ribs. I'm getting picked up, screaming for cops that I thought that knew me. Nobody the hell knew me. I get to the down to the police station.
What it's- the hell?
He counted six knees in his back.
Actually, it was like five knees. One guy did it twice.
Wow. This must be taught in class now, when to use your nightstick.
Right. I would say smacking the cuss out of a cop's hand is number one.
Yeah, that and...
Yep.
Yeah. All right, mm-hmm. go ahead.
A couple jabs to my ribs. I'm getting picked up, screaming for cops that I thought that knew me. Nobody the hell knew me. I get so to the town.
Don't you know me? Is something loose in the air
Jimmy?
Behind
me? Mikey? Right. Mikey? Jimmy?
There
ain't no Jimmy here.
Was somebody blowing a New Year's whore behind
I heard that too. What the hell was that?
You should see this park in the morning. It's the most active
they
park.
They celebrate New Year's every day?
Yeah. Library Park.
Can you play that back?
Nobody the hell knew me. I get to the...
He was what a kid.
An asthmatic
he was a kid crying.
An asthmatic trying to breathe.
Me!
The guy got, like, hit in the lungs.
Whatever, he's very active all day and night.
Apparently so, yes.
Wow.
Huh. Oh, no.
Man.
Oh, no.
I'm just picturing, like, a clown in a park with a horn.
Right. Right.
In the background right. of this story being told.
The dog's bad squeaky toy.
Sounds like one of those old crank sirens where you have to...
right. It's some guy trying to breathe.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.